This is Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." And Ruth went and gleaned in a field after the reapers. And she happened to stop at the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, "Who was set over the reapers? Whose maiden is this?" And the servant set over the reapers answered, "It is the Moabitish girl who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and was continued from early morning until now, except when she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but stay here close by my maidens. Watch which field they reap and follow them. Have I not charged the young men not to molest you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should notice me when I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz said to her, "I have been made fully aware of all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people unknown to you before. The Lord recompense you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken to the heart of your maidservant, though I am not as one of your maidservants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." And she said, sat beside the reapers, and he passed her parched grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left for Naomi. And when she got up to glean, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her glean among even the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And let fall some handfuls for her on purpose, and let them lie there for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the town. She showed her mother-in-law what she had gleaned and brought forth and gave her the food she had reserved after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who noticed you." So Ruth told her, "The name of him with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not ceased his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is a near relative of ours, one who has the right to redeem us." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said to me also, 'Stay close to my young men until they have harvested my entire crop.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, "It is good, my daughter, for you to go out with his maidens, lest in any other field you be molested." So she kept close to the maidens of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that it would pierce our hearts, Father, that we would hear your heart. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We stand in the midst of an amazing story, the story of Ruth and Boaz. And it begins, as you might remember from chapter 1, with the family of Elimelech and Naomi, their sons Mahlon and Chilion. They were there in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread, and Judah is praised. So they were in the house of bread, surrounded, if you will, by praise, and yet we're told that they left that land because there was a famine and they went to the land of Moab. There is no indication that they talked to the Lord about that, and it did not go well for them there in Moab, because not long after they were in Moab, Elimelech died. And then it tells us that Mahlon and Chilion, the sons, took two wives of the Moabites, Orpah and Ruth. And then the two boys died. So it left Ruth and Orpah with their mother-in-law, Naomi. A difficult strait, to be sure. But in the midst of all of that challenge, Naomi heard that there was bread once again in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And so they returned home. Now, as we look at that, we realize that it's a story of an actual family. We see God's grace and mercy and provision for them, but we also see an amazing picture. Because you see, Naomi is a picture of Israel. She is a type of Israel who were in the land of milk and honey, surrounded, if you will, by praise, and yet they ended up being driven from the land because of their disobedience, because those that came in against them drove them from the land, and they were wandering in Moab, if you will. But the Lord had a plan. Even as Naomi came back to live in the land during the harvest, so Israel has been brought back to the land. We know back in 1948, Israel was declared once again a nation, and so the Lord is at work. Ruth, that Moabitish woman, was a foreigner, and yet she was linked with Naomi, came back to the land with Naomi, and served Naomi, if you will. Ruth becomes a picture of the church, because we'll see as she gleans in the field that the Lord is using her, even as he's using the church in these days. She will glean during the harvest until its completion, and the end of the harvest, or what we would call today the end of the age. And it's coming, guys. It's coming very close. We sang that song, "Even So Come, Lord Jesus." And I believe we're on the edge of that coming, that Jesus is going to come very soon. But we're going to be introduced to another amazing individual. His name is Boaz. Boaz is going to be the kinsman redeemer, the one who would redeem and restore to Naomi that which she lost, her estate, and also would take this one Ruth as his bride. And so he becomes a picture as well of Jesus. So we have Naomi, Israel, Ruth, the church, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach. And here in verse 2, or verse 1 of chapter 2, we read, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Boaz means strength or standing in strength. This man was powerful. He was a man of wealth, a man of position, a man of influence. And because of the laws of redemption, he was in that place where he could work, you see, as the goel to see Naomi's estate lost. He could redeem it. He could purchase it back from those who had taken possession of it in the absence of Naomi's family. They'd been gone about 10 years or so. I don't believe they plan to be gone that long, but so often when you wander off into the weeds, it ends up being longer than what you had anticipated. But Boaz is at work. The Bible study tools says that the kinsman redeemer was a male relative who, according to various laws found in the Pentateuch, had the privilege or responsibility to act for a relative who was in trouble, in danger, or need of vindication. That would describe Naomi and Ruth, but you can see very clearly that it also could describe us before Jesus. We found ourselves in that place of need, that place of trouble. And God's unfolding his plan. In verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went, and it came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, or it just so happened, was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So Ruth and Naomi are in great need. They know they need to do something. They don't have what we would call today a safety net. They couldn't apply for help from the government. So they had to figure out how they could bring food into the family. And so what the common thing was to do is that they would go out into the fields and they would glean. And what they would do is follow the reapers, and that which fell behind the reapers, they would go in and they would glean that which was left and take that home, and that's how they sustained themselves. It used to be that you had that kind of activity here, not that long ago, but things changed. People got crazy and lawsuits and all sorts of things, and so it ended up that the farmers just closed off their fields. It was easier not to deal with those issues. So Ruth goes out, this Gentile, looking for a place to glean. And in all reality, she had no right to glean because she was not of the Jewish people. And yet God's grace kicked in, as he so often does. He intervenes. And it says there, and I love the verse, it just so happened. It was her hap. It just so happened that she ended up in the field of Boaz. Well, now the world will say, huh, can you imagine that? Random chance circumstance. But you see, as believers in Jesus, we understand there is no such thing in the life of the believer. Or even the life of the unbeliever, as the Lord is at work to draw them to himself. It was no accident that she found her way into the field of Boaz. And how many times has the Lord done that in your life and mine? When we're living our lives, we're moving along, and all of a sudden we just happen to find ourselves in that place exactly where we need to be to see that need met that we have or someone that we care about has. And the Lord does that so amazingly, amazingly well. And I love that about our Lord. And so she finds herself there, and behold, verse 4, Boaz came from Bethlehem, so he came from the house of bread, and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And I love that. Boaz brings a blessing to those that are serving him. And he's going to also make an inquiry to those laborers. But isn't that what Jesus does in our lives? He brings blessing to us, undeservedly so, and we know it to be true. But he also makes inquiry of us. And he asks us questions like, are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to honor me with your life? But Boaz had a more pointed question. Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. I like the fact that this servant was unnamed. This unnamed servant was set over the reapers. Those that are doing the work in the fields. Remember, this is a picture of our world. As we see in these days, the harvest is ongoing. As people are being added to the body, the reapers are harvesting and the gleaners are coming in behind to pick up those who might have been missed. And so this unnamed servant responds to Boaz, hey, it's Ruth, this Moabitish damsel that has come alongside of Naomi, an unnamed servant, the Holy Spirit in our lives, comes and guides and directs. You might remember Abraham sends his servant, never named, to find a bride for Isaac. So this servant is pointing to the bride, unbeknownst to Boaz, his bride-to-be in the coming days. He points to this woman and he says, here, this is who he is. And I love the fact that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, even as this man did not speak of himself. In John chapter 16, we read, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, says Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life and my life today. Even as the servant of Boaz pointed him to the bride, so the Holy Spirit is pointing us to the bride, to Jesus, the bridegroom. He's pointing us to him. And for Boaz, he was blessed. And in verse 7, we read, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Ruth, that must have been music to her ears, you see, because she came to that field hungry. And the Lord met her at that point of need. You know, we can look, if you will, as coming to the Lord, coming to his word, hungry to know more of him, to hear from him, you see. That's what the Lord does. He shows up. You know, Boaz didn't ignore her need, but rather he stepped in and met her need, even as he will do the same for you and for me. James tells us that we have not because we ask not. Or we ask amiss, thinking to consume it on our own lusts, you see. God's desire is that our heart be after him, that those things which we are pursuing would be those things which will honor him, glorify him, because in there we find the great fullness in our own lives. Jesus would say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, Boaz could have shooed her away. She was just another woman. You know, and there wasn't a lot of value to women in those days, but he didn't do that. And Jesus isn't going to shoo you away either. He wants you to come to him. He wants to hear from you. He wants to listen to me. His words were music to the ears of one so hungry, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. And that's true of our lives as well, is it not? We are needy people. In all of those realms, but we find that our Heavenly Father is the great provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides. His grace, we sing, is sufficient for me. And so he says, stick close. Don't wander off. Perhaps the Lord would say that to you this morning. Let thine eyes, verse 9, be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? That's such a great question. That thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. Fix your eyes on the field, Ruth. Fix your eyes on this field and don't take your eyes off of that field. As we look at that, we realize that it's an encouragement to us to go to the field where we're seeing the labor being done, where we're seeing fruit being born. It's in that place that we're going to find our needs met as well. It isn't just about meeting our needs, but our needs will be met as we enter in, as we plug in, as we endeavor to serve the Lord Jesus. Find a good field is what we can encourage others with in our work, daily ministry, you see. Naomi's family had wandered from their field, we know, and it cost them greatly, dearly. It led to death. And it can be the same in our lives as well. Because you see, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, offers protection, offers covering, offers blessing. And I love Ruth's response, you see. She said, who am I that you would bless me so? So often we can find ourselves there. But when we realize the depth of our need, humility always follows. We don't demand anything of God. He's not a bellhop, but he is our loving Heavenly Father, and he will give us everything we need. We can be assured of that. But we need to approach him in humility and reverence. We need to honor him, and we need to realize from where we have come. Why do you care about a Moabite? She would say, why do you care about a stranger? Well, the word tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come, that all should come to repentance. You see, it's inexplicable why the Lord would call us. As we look at our own lives, we realize what wretches we are. We join with Paul right out of Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, and yet, in the midst of that, Jesus loves us, even as Boaz cared for the needs of Ruth. And in verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Essentially, he says, Ruth, I know all about you. I know all about you. Isaiah declares, I called you by name and you are mine. Even as Boaz said to Ruth, I know all about you, Jesus would say to you, to me, I know all about you. You have no secrets. You can't hide from me, nor should you want to. I knew you when I called you. I knew your problems. I knew your needs, but I also knew your potential. And that's what God does. He calls those who are needy. We have to acknowledge our need in order to realize that we're needy. And as we do that, then we can come to relationship with this Goel, this kinsman redeemer. He knew Ruth, and our kinsman redeemer knows us. And I love the verse, the beginning verse of Psalm 46. It says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Have you found that to be so this morning? That God is your refuge, that he's your strength, that he's a very present help in trouble? He tells us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. He tells us that perfect love casts out fear. We don't have to fear what's around the corner because he's already there. He's with us. He's walking with us day by day, and he will guide us through those storms. And if he allows them to come into our life, there is a purpose. I'm sure Moses wasn't celebrating the 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. But God had a purpose in all that. He stripped all of Moses' self-sufficiency away. So then he had a tool in his hands that he could use to pull off an exodus and lead 2 million people plus out of Egypt. And that's what God does with our lives too. He strips away our own self-sufficiency so that we can say, no, it's just but God. We say, but God. It's just him. It's not us. Nothing in our lives. And in verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar or sour wine. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. And left. I love the fact that in the midst of this, Ruth, even though she's being greatly blessed, takes time to bless her benefactor, to bless the one who has given her so much. The result of an invitation, you see, it comes as she blesses him. What does he say? He says, come and dine. Partake of the bread, partake of the wine. And we look at that and that we realize that the Lord Jesus is saying the same thing to us this morning. Come and dine. Come and take of the bread, drink of the wine. Come, have communion with me. That's the sweetness of communion when we gather at the communion table and we partake of the cup, we partake of the bread. We're partaking of an intimate relationship with the God of heaven, remembering what Jesus has done for us. And it tells us something about that. After she partook, she was satisfied. Guys, if you want to be satisfied, feed on the bread of life. Partake of the water of life, if you will, of the blood of life, the juice, often, because we will leave the table satisfied, reminded of the tremendous sacrifice that God has given to us, great life, a rich and abundant life. In verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field even until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That's a lot of barley for a day's gleaning. An ephah of barley. You see, it tells us that after she partook, what does she do? She gets into service. After she had her need met, physically speaking, she went back to work, gleaning in the fields. You know, we know that there are many out there reaping in the harvest. There are people who touch thousands and thousands of lives, and sometimes we can find ourselves feeling pretty small in light of those people. But God's not impressed, because we all stand at the foot of the cross. And those few lives that we touch in comparison are every bit as important, eternally speaking, as the thousands or hundreds of thousands that those who stand in the crowds might touch. The importance is our obedience to his call. Because it says, as she rose to glean, that he spoke behind the scenes, and he tells his reapers, hey, leave things for her that she might be blessed in her gleaning. She didn't know that was going on. As you serve the Lord, he's moving behind the scenes. He's speaking truth. He's preparing the way. He's making sure that you'll be blessed in your service. And he met her need, indeed doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according what? To the power that works in us. Make no mistake about it. That unnamed servant we talked about earlier, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he dwells within you. And that's power. That's what Acts tells us. Acts 1, you shall receive what? Power, dunamis, from on high after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. We need that power in these days particularly. You see, we need to be praying for more of you, Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. That chorus that we sing. But there's a powerful truth in that. Be praying for the filling of God's Spirit daily. Be praying for the anointing of God's Spirit daily. Because it's in that place of anointing that we find the power that we need to do the work that in the field that he has called us to do. Ruth found that to be true as she came to the table. We're working in the field, not ours, just like Ruth. And the harvest is coming to a close. Time is short. Time is short. I've shared this before, but it always rings in my heart when I'm talking about sharing our faith. I remember years ago in Roseburg when I was working for the county, I used to go in early before anybody was there because it was so nice, you know. No bodies, no breathing, no talking. You could get stuff done. But there was a lady who came early also. She was older than me. That's pretty cool. Anyway, she was older than me, and she was working, and we got to talking. It was just her and I, and we got to talking. And of course, things went to things spiritual, and we sat there, and I shared the gospel with her. And she prayed to receive Christ, which was awesome. But the thing that sticks with me, she said when she when she rose up from her prayer to invite Jesus into her life, She said, I've been waiting 20 years for somebody to share. She'd been in church for 20 years and never heard the gospel. Amazing. Amazing. Never take for granted the message that God has given you. Never assume that people know Christ just because they go to church. She was the sweetest lady that you would ever want to meet, but she was without Christ. Take time to ask, do you know Jesus? Do you have him in your life, in your heart? Do you know that you're headed to heaven? Or do you know that you've been born again? So important in our lives, so important. The time is short, guys. I just can't emphasize that enough. Verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she went or brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So not only did she bring the grain back, but she also brought the remainder of her meal and gave that to Naomi as well. I love that. And her mother-in-law said unto her, verse 19, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. And she said, the man's name with whom I wrought today or worked today is Boaz. And Naomi says, wow. Well, she didn't really say wow, but she said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now check it out. You remember when Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem and they said, is this Naomi? She says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. She came back in bitterness because she had lost so much and that she felt like the Lord had turned away from her. But here, all of a sudden, it changes. Ruth steps in, is ministering, blesses her with what she has gleaned, given her of her food. And all of a sudden, there is an injection of hope into Naomi's life. And all of a sudden, she's blessing God and she's blessing Boaz. Never underestimate the importance of hope. Hope is so important in our lives. This week, I was talking to a young lady, and I was in an office, and she came out, and I greeted her, and I said, how are you doing today? She said, well, you're not so good. And I asked her, I said, you know, what's going on? Can I help? And she said, well, not really. She said, I got a call this morning, and one of my friends took her life. And this girl was probably 19, maybe 20. Her friend had lost hope. And we see that increasingly in our world today. The number of young people that are taking their lives because they've lost hope. They've had any hope stripped away from them because God's been removed from the equation. And we've been reduced to animals. You can't take God out of the equation. God has to be there. Give hope. Be those who plant seeds of hope, seeds of encouragement. So, so important, you see, that we do that. Our provision, like Ruth, is to be shared with Israel and with others. In verse 21, as we bring this to a close, and Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Stay close to others, Ruth, Naomi would counsel her. That's a good word for us, guys. We need to stay close to each other. That's what the body of Christ is about. We're a family. We need to spend time together. We need to love each other. These times that we can share together, like breaking bread together after the service, or coming together to pray on Sunday nights, or joining together in a home just to have fellowship and share a meal and just be friends. You know, that's so, so important. Don't wander off. Don't wander off from the field. Make sure you stay intimately connected with the body, because we will find ourselves blessed, and they will be blessed, those around us as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, for the treasures that we find here. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to minister to us, Lord, by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you challenge each of our hearts, Lord, as we journey through your word together. I pray this morning, Father, that your word has done its work in each of us, and that we would be ready, that we would be receptors of what you would say to us, that we would be quick to respond, Lord, to what you say to us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to pray for one another, to be linked up with one another, to listen to those promptings, Father, when your Spirit says, call that individual or write that person a note or look them up. Whatever it happens to be, Lord, help us to take advantage of those things. It is so rich, Lord, because it tells us that you're at work in our lives and the lives of those you call to our attention as well. Lord, I know that you want to work in each of us in an ever-increasing fashion. So, Lord, we're here. We offer ourselves to you. Lord, we want to be gleaners in the field. We want to be, like Ruth, faithful. We know, Father, by experience, your faithfulness to feed us and strengthen us, Lord, for the work to which you have called us. And I pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to evaluate, to make those course corrections that might be necessary, Lord. And by all means, Father, help us to stay close. Close to you first and foremost, and close to one another in this place where you have planted us. Might we see much fruit, Father, as a result of the labor, but it has to flow from you. A work of your Spirit, not only in our lives, but through our lives. And I pray, Lord, today, that if there be anybody here, Father, that does not know Jesus, that they would cry out for salvation, that they would ask you, Lord, to forgive them of their sins and to ask Jesus to come into their life. Or those who have need, Father, for prayer, for healing, Lord, or guidance and direction, whatever it happens to be, for peace in the family or at work, might they come for prayer, Lord? Might they find themselves in that place, Lord, of being supported by your people? Father, we give you all praise and glory and honor for your goodness. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you this week, that he would guide your steps, that he would cause his face to shine upon you, and he would give you peace. And I ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.